the best thing you can do is you have 60 years of experience to go talk to somebody in their 20s and say, let me walk side by side and hold your hand and show you the ropes. That's cool.
Hilliard, today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Hot potato? Sitting on the fence. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And the ever-popular advice, usually it's way obvious, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Well, you can't make an omelet without cracking some eggs. Writing a book is a tough row to hoe. Mark Schinnerer is here to tell us about his new book, The Success Grower, 8 Down-to-Earth Elements for Achieving Your Goals. If you're wondering why I harvested all the corny farm-related fodder, please listen and get the... That's bad, I know. From the horse's mouth. Mark, why do you use a farm as the canvas for your down-to-earth book?
Well, I grew up on a farm, so it's a background that I know very well. And because I grew up on a farm, I'm also an avid gardener and was able to relate the concepts that I've learned over the years to practices on the farm. Because in order to be a successful farmer, you have to do the same things to set goals and nurture the soil and the crops like you would nurture your goals in your plan. Eventually getting to that harvest, which in my mind is not the end of the story. That's just the end of like the chapter, because there's always another harvest coming. Success isn't just the harvest. Success to me is the journey to get there. So I know farming, and I just took those concepts and put them together with concepts we typically learn about goal setting, developing plans, improving ourselves, personal growth, in a way that I think is attractive to people. And maybe sometimes in this story, they learn something without realizing they're learning something.
So just in writing the book, this is kind of a little sidebar here, but about 1,000 people that start writing a book, about 30 of them finish, which is about 3%. And then there's just maybe a zillionth of a percentage of people that even conceive of writing a book. How was it writing the book? I'm speaking out to baby boomers, which is what we're about. And I think a lot of people think, well, I'd like to write a book. And I've got, you know, stuff piled everywhere. All I need to do is compile it and edit it, and it's such a project. How did you come about setting that goal and achieving it?
Well, I would be jealous of the person who has a full idea and research and resources to write a book, but maybe they're just kind of sitting there going, I don't know how to do this. I never set out with the idea of writing a book, although I had the idea in my head for about the last 9 years of this concept as a book. I started when I got out of college, 1980, working on myself, personal growth and development. And one of the first books I've read was Og Mandino's The Greatest Salesman in the World, mm-hmm. which is a parable style book. And so I've been reading and doing my own personal development for 37 years now. And when I came up it was just an idea I had 9 years ago. And so I started writing down what now has evolved into the 8 elements. I wrote them on a piece of paper as a farming topic. And so I started to make notes on a piece of paper that really have become the 8 elements. And I would write down sub notes that tied to personal development, goal setting, those kinds of topics that I was just reading for myself. And I kept that piece of paper for 7-8 years, and I would put it in a drawer, and I'd lose it, and I'd find it, and I'd look at it and go, well, you know, I should write that book. And never really had a desire to write a book. It's just this thing in my head. And 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, I tried to write the book, and I tried to write it like a typical nonfiction personal growth and development book, and I hated it, just hated it. Because it sounded like all the other books I've read that are sitting on my shelf. And I thought, what can I add to this volume of knowledge? Little did I know that my experience of growing up on a farm adds a different view. So then 2 years ago, I was driving home from Nebraska at Christmas time with my son. And I said, hey, I got an idea for a book. He said, tell me about the book. So I told him about the book and that nonfiction style book. And I said, would you read that book? And he's like, no, I wouldn't read that book. And I said, okay, I have another idea. And it was a story about a guy who was a junior in college. He's getting towards the end of his college. He's got one more year left, doesn't know what he's going to do with his career and his degree. So he takes the summer off and he heads off across the country and he spends the summer with this farmer learning these elements of achieving goals, and then comes back, finishes his senior year, and goes on with his life and becomes successful. And I said, would you read that book? And he's like, yeah, I'd read that book. I thought, okay, I got an idea here. So that's kind of what the book is. The story's a little bit different than that, because most people can't relate to 3 months off in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So the character, he has a two-week vacation that accidentally ends up on this farm, and you'll have to read the book to get the details from that. But I just had this thing in my head, and
it's a great way to tell the story, I think.
Yeah, and I kept talking to people and friends about this idea, about this book. And I guess just over the years, it just kind of grew as a bigger idea. I didn't know how to write a book. I've never written a book before, and I didn't see myself as a writer. Until one day, my friend, I think he got tired of me talking to him about the book, and he said, Mark, start writing that book tomorrow. And I said, okay. And he said, and every Wednesday from now on, you give me an update on what you've written. So he encouraged me to start, and he held me accountable, which are very important, I think.
Thank your friend. Yeah, those are both good elements,
yeah.
I think, to have.
And so I started writing every morning. Some days it was 15 minutes. Some days it might be 45 minutes to an hour. And I wrote for 100 days. And at the end of 100 days, I was done. And I have to be careful. The first person who asked me, well, how long did it take you to write the book, had been trying to write a book himself. And I said, it took me 100 days. And he says, I hate you. He says, I've been trying to write my book for 3 years, and it took you 100 days? And I said, okay. I thought, I cannot say that, because that's not the truth. The truth was, I had the book in my head for 8 years. It took me 100 days to transcribe the story that I finally had in my head. So the book was fully written over the 8 years. I just transcribed what was in my head into my computer as it came out.
Into a way that would connect with people. I think that was a key element in that to me. Give us a sneak preview. What's one or two of the elements for achieving our goals?
Well, the first one is called fertile soil, fertile mind. And I relate that to, as a farmer or a gardener, in order to grow a crop, plant a seed, grow a garden, grow a crop, you have to have fertile soil. And there are certain ways to get fertile soil, and that kind of comes in some of the later elements in the book. But, you know, you have to fertilize the soil. You have to have organic material in the soil. You have to water it. You have to have air in the soil, keep it cultivated. But in order for that crop, that seed to grow, you need to have fertile soil. It's the same way in our lives. In order for us to take an idea that we have for a project, a business, a book, an event we want to do, whatever it is in our life, we have this seed of an idea. We have to make sure that our minds are fertile enough to take that seed so it can sprout and grow into that full-formed idea, business, project. And a lot of that is done through the people we associate with, the books we read, the information we put in our minds, which comes, that is another one of the elements, but all of those things that we do to make sure that our minds are at a point to where when we put that idea in there, it now can grow and develop into a full-formed, valuable idea. So that's one of them. And to me, it all starts with belief. A farmer has to believe that when he plants that seed, it's going to grow and he knows how to take care of it to reach a harvest.
So belief in yourself is a big element.
It's a key. Yeah. You have to start with belief in yourself. So that's one of them. Another one in the book I call weeds. There are a lot of weeds that we deal with in gardening. If you're a farmer, there are a lot of weeds in a field, in a crop that you have to deal with. And in our lives, we have weeds that come up in our lives. And I list those into three categories. One is the weeds that we plant ourselves. And that's our beliefs, it's our self-talk, what we say to ourselves. It's how we are presenting ourselves. It's how we're beating ourselves up or not. Those are some of the weeds that we plant. There are weeds that other people plant. And usually it's people who say to us, oh, you can't do that, or I don't think you're good enough for that, or you don't have enough education. Sometimes they're trying to protect us. At least that's what they think they're doing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're trying to put on us their own personal belief that they can't do it. And so they think, if they can't do it, why should I think I can do it? So other people plant these weeds in our lives that we a lot of times listen to. So we have to deal with those.
Kind of a, I gave up on my dreams, so here's why you should type approach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then the third kind of weeds that I talk about are weeds that we can't really do anything about. So we come up against rules and regulations, policies, the economy, government, things like that, that we can't do anything about, but we can find ways to manage those, to get around them, to deal with them. But a lot of people just run up against them and go, I guess it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes a weed in their life. So that's a sneak peek of what's in the book.
So are you working on a video series, I think I understand?
I am. That's my plan for the first part of this year. I've put together a workshop or a seminar, depends on how long somebody might want to do it, that goes through the eight elements in a more in-depth fashion and help the participants in the workshop to start the process of understanding what they are and walking through it and how these things fit into their goals and their dreams and how it can and how you would put them into place. A lot of people can't attend a workshop. A lot of people don't want to attend a day-long workshop or maybe even a couple of day seminar if it's a really intensive seminar. So I'm going to be creating an online video series that basically does the same thing, that will introduce each one of the elements, talk about its purpose, talk about the details of that element and how you would implement that in your own plans, in your own life. Accompany that will be some PDF worksheets so you can begin this process on your own.
Just to produce something like this has to be a learning experience for you. I graduated from high school in 74, Aberdeen, Washington, go Bobcats. And things have changed quite a bit since then. And there's an importance to ongoing education or you just get lost. And you're doing us all proud, Mark, by going through this, putting together a video series and working on the stuff that you're doing. Has it been quite a learning experience for you?
Well, it is, and it's a challenge because I, too, am a baby boomer. It's not something that comes easy to me, all this tech stuff, websites and video and, you know, just sitting down and getting it all written, and then it's like, okay, now how am I going to shoot this? Who's going to edit it? How do I put this together? It's a learning process, and my normal mode is I want to jump to the end and have it done. And so it's really making me focus on one step at a time, which is what my book talks about.
Yeah.
Somebody said to me, well, just go read your book. And I said, okay, thank you very much.
I know. There's a parallel. It seems to be that way. You're self-referencing.
Yeah. And so I have to start one at a time with the very first video and just go, okay, write the script. Okay, get the script done. Now what's next? Let's practice. You know, let's do some practice and then shoot the video, then figure out how to get it edited, and, you know, just one step at a time. I can't think too far down the road, which is my normal mode of operating, is to think way down the road. I've got to force myself to do one thing at a time, check it off the list, and then move to the next thing.
And it's new stuff. Well, that's good.
It's new stuff, and it's very frustrating and intimidating. It shouldn't be, but it is.
The fear element steps in, I think, for a lot of people.
Big time.
Yeah, and a lot of people, it's you know, end of story. You know, I've done what I've done. I call it Popeye syndrome. I am what I am, and that's all that I am, or something. But
well, and like you doing a podcast, you know, the one thing that I talked to three different groups about my book. One is, I call them emerging adults. So those are the young adults, teenagers, kids coming out of college, the 20-somethings. You know, they got their whole life and career. In my speeches, I say, we teach you how to read, we teach you how to write, we teach you how to get a job and drive a car, but who teaches you how to set goals and achieve success in your life? We don't teach you that.
Exactly.
And so I would like to teach young adults that process, because you can learn it. Anybody can go out and learn it. But if somebody can teach it to you, you can achieve whatever success you want in your life much faster. I mean, I'm 58 now. It's like, man, I wish I'd have done this 30 years ago, but I wasn't ready for it personally. And so then I've got the, what I think I call them, frustrated adults. You know, those who are in their 30s and 40s, they think they should have all this success now. They got a family and debts and mortgage, and I should be making more money, and I should have started that business 10 years ago. What do I do now? Well, let's talk about it. Let's make a plan. Let's move forward. You can still do that. Well, then you get the folks at my age, older, I'm 58, mm-hmm. you know, folks in their 60s who go, I really didn't accomplish what I thought I would accomplish in my life, and now my life is over. What do I do? Well, if you're in your 60s, you've got at least another 30 years if you're in decent health.
Yeah.
What can you do? But the best thing you can do is you have 60 years of experience to go talk to somebody in their 20s and say, let me walk side by side and hold your hand and show you the ropes. That's cool.
It is.
And if you can only do it through a podcast, because a podcast is a very valuable medium today like you're doing, that provides information to people whenever they want to go find it and listen to it. That's what I like about podcasts. It's always there. And if you like a podcast, all of a sudden this person becomes your friend, and you've probably never met them, but you invite them into your life. And so as an older adult, we have so much to offer back. Find a little bit of the technology that you can use to help give back in today's society. It's so cool. There's so many opportunities out there.
I got the inspiration to do the podcast from my parents. I took care of them for a year in their final months of life. And they were still very curious about everything. Stymied a little bit by technology, the remote control and the TV. They had it all written out, exactly what buttons to push. And
yeah,
I thought, wouldn't it be nice if it was just as simple as talking to the equipment's out now. You can buy it now. You just talk to something and you say, turn this on, turn that on. What if I could just say, listen to Better Each Day podcast, and bingo, it comes on. And you can listen to it while you're laying down. There's no video so far. So you could put headphones on or listen to it with speakers. Basically, you could be sick in bed and get really good information easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I guess it's up to me to curate good content. So,
you know, growing up when I was on the farm as a teenager, I enjoyed listening to some of the, back in the 70s, what would be talk shows, not like talk radio today so much, but you've got the radio DJ guy who he's bringing somebody in and they're having a chat and an interview and discussion, but you have to catch a show. You have to tune in at the right time and catch a show.
Yeah.
Today, a podcast is whenever I want to listen to it.
Listen on demand.
That's great about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is good. And I try to do minimal advertising on mine too. So I'm not getting wealthy doing it in the respect of dollar wealth, but I've met a lot of wonderful people, including you. And I love talking to people that have written a book because they're well-researched. And I can ask a question, and they can talk for 10 minutes, all good information. It's not just rambling on or something like that. What kind of music do you listen to? What kind of music do you like?
Oh.
It gets a laugh.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go way back, Bruce. I mean, when I was a teenager, I loved John Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Loved him.
He was
and
huge.
I learned to play the guitar from John Denver music. And, you know, that's what I played and sang whenever people wanted me to sing. Because back then, you know, he was talking about country boys and Rocky Mountains, and I grew up on a farm in Kansas, and I could relate to a lot of what he just said in his music.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just, it was really special to me. You know, there were some others, but that was the big one. I mean, I hung on to him for a long time.
He was huge. He even hosted the Tonight Show for a while, I remember. And he was absent from the group that recorded We Are the World, which was kind of funny because he was topping the charts for a long time, and then he sort of dwindled.
Right.
And I met up with Kenny Loggins years ago, and he was talking about that group of people, and somebody in the room said, well, they were, you know, rehearsing and everything, said, you know what, if a bomb goes off in this room, Denver's back on top again.
Well, I would have loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the day he died in his plane crash, I actually cried. I played the guitar and sang one of his songs at my wedding to my wife, to my future wife at the time, but to my wife. That's how special he was to me. So that goes way back.
Wow.
In the 80s and 90s, there was a lot of country music. You know, when Garth Brooks came out and was big, back kind of pop country back then, really big. Some good music, some maybe not so good, but just, you know, Garth Brooks and just, I haven't listened to that in quite a while now, so I can't name all those people. But that was just good country music. But lately, the last several years, I've listened to more jazz. I like the Sinatra jazz. Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett. Just those guys.
He's a young guy.
Dean Martin.
Michael Bublé. You listen to Michael Bublé.
And Michael Bublé, he has that style. He has the Sinatra sound and style. And so he's bringing back a lot of that really good Sinatra jazz with kind of a new style. And if I had that voice, I don't think I'd be writing a book.
He's got
an amazing career.
Strapping
and
young
talent.
Guy. Yeah, he's got that frontman demeanor thing going on, too.
Yes, he does.
Just a good entertainer, I think.
And so I like to listen to his music and just jazz of that style.
Well, that's great. You know, I want to thank you so much for your time. And I want you to write another book or two.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, after I wrote the first one and I let a friend kind of on my development team read the manuscript, and she said to me the first time she saw me was, "Wow, that's a great book. I can already see your second book." And I was like, "What are you talking about? I hadn't even published the first one." And she kind of explained what her thought was, said, "Well, I see that. Maybe it's another 8 years before I write another book, but
Well, I was thinking the movie, the rock opera, and the amusement park, which should be fun.
You know what's interesting, Bruce? You say movie.
Yeah.
My wife read the book, and the first thing she watches a lot of Hallmark Channel movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first thing she said was, "That sounds like a Hallmark movie." And I said, "Interestingly, you should say that because it's written, the story is written in a format that almost every Hallmark movie is written in."
Mm-hmm.
And if you're familiar with Donald Miller and his story brand, and he has a book that came out last fall called something about the story brand, he teaches a model of telling story in a format that is very compelling and attractive to people. And he said almost every successful movie will follow this same format, and he gives all kinds of examples, and you can just follow him as he walks through the examples. Well, that was in my head as I wrote this book and this story. So it's a parable, but I tried to use his framework. I'm going to send him a copy of the book and just say, tell me how close I got. But I tried to use this framework because it's a very compelling framework to attract people to the story. And I must have gotten somewhat close, because at this point, everybody that's read it is like, wow, that's just a great story, the way you've written it. So, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe I go pitch it as a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you. Thank you for your time. I wish you the best in the future.
Thanks, Bruce.
And we'll be talking soon again, I hope.
All right, yeah. Bye-bye. I look forward to that. Thanks. I took the blows and did it my way.
Yes, it was my way.
Woo! Thank God I'm a country boy, yeah!
Support for Better Each Day comes from BruceHilliardHomes.com. For a better day in buying or selling a home, search BruceHilliardHomes.com or visit our website, Better Each Day, for more information. And while you're there, subscribe to the show. It's free. That's BruceHilliardHomes.com, Windermere Real Estate. And make it better each day.
listening to the Better Each Day podcast radio show with Bruce Hilliard. We'll be back with a new horizon, but until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.